What is up, everybody? It is Becky Alley here, the crew, the Hardcore Mortgage crew. It is Wednesday, March 17th. I got my green on because it is St. Patrick's Day. We got a great show. We got Mr. Sean Wilmont of EXP joining us out of the Trenton office. What's up, Sean?
Hey, happy St. Pat's.
Yeah, I miss my days of going out. I'm not going to lie. I put up a picture earlier today about with all my flair, and it was so obnoxious, but I definitely miss it. Obviously, we got Harvey Freed, host of the Hardcore Mortgage Show that you can hear every Saturday on 97.1. What's up?
I really messed this whole green thing up. I didn't even realize it. Now, I knew it was St. Patty's Day yesterday, but somehow when I put my colors together this morning, this is not green. This is definitely purple. So my apologies. I'll try to keep the spirit going later tonight and drink a green beer or something. I don't know.
We'll put some food coloring in there. We also have Lisa Lawson. I would be lost without her. She's my late night confidant when we're bouncing transactions off each other. I have nothing but admiration for Miss Lisa Lawson. Glad you're here with us today, too.
Thank you, especially on St. Pat.
Oh, I think you muted yourself.
Stop muting yourself. Yes. Yeah.
Stop muting yourself.
Yes, I couldn't wear them, any work-related anything. So, but I'm very happy that we're all here celebrating to the best we can together.
Yes, I know it's definitely a huge transition than, you know, like over the last year or so, right? So a year before that, like I was probably out in all my green get up and then, you know, everything came to a halt. And here we are a year after, you know, like I see all these memories popping up from the pandemic. And this time last year, Sean, you guys were totally just like canceled. You couldn't get in there looking at people's house, you know, getting the real estate out there, looking at showing people's houses. You guys had to get really, really creative, actually.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, and the market was on fire. I got off to a great start. And then all of a sudden it just came to a screeching halt. And to go from just going nuts, my head spinning, to just, okay, you cannot leave the house. It was something that I can't even comprehend to this day. I can't believe that we're still, you know, kind of dealing with it, to be honest with you.
I hear that too. And like, it is, I relate to that because that momentum, right? Because there's always that drive and that momentum. And then when you're like kind of forced to like stop and look at things, you're like, no, I'm used to like going 100 miles an hour so fast that it looks like I'm going in slow motion. So when it forces you to actually completely stop, I was like, no, we got to do some things.
Yeah,
I mean, but obviously the huge topic still is the low inventory, right? Yeah. Because the market is so hot. We keep talking about it, but it's still a valid point that the lack of inventory truly is driving this market and, you know, setting up the buyers for the proper expectations, I think, is key. And I want you to kind of maybe touch a little bit that right off the bat here, Sean, on what you need to do to get your buyer set up for success in a seller's market.
Well, yeah, it's, I think one of the things right now, I mean, I think it's very important to set expectations with your buyers. It's very competitive out there and the buyers are just getting frustrated. So I think what's very important is just to have that talk with them. Here's what we're up against. Set the expectations early, let them know what you're up against. That way it's not a surprise when they have to put 4 or 5 offers in to get the house they want. Let them know what it's going to take early on. Inventory is a huge issue. I was just running some numbers this morning right now. And I like to focus on my, you know, within 10 mile radius of where I live. You know, I want to be geographically competent in what I do. So I ran some numbers this morning. We have only 34 active listings within Woodhaven, Trenton, Riverview, and Brownstown. That is incredibly low. So we have an inventory problem. We have an influx of buyers due to such tremendously low rates that this has become an issue. So I think just setting the expectations with the buyers early on, and that's the best thing you do right now.
I mean, think about that. You said 34 houses. I mean, that is 34. Like, so you have, let's just say, 100 buyers in that. So you have 34 houses. You got one house. You're going to have 45 offers on one house. Everyone going after the same thing. And, you know, at least like from my side of things, buyers are, you know, they were getting a little bit frustrated, you know, but like we talk about it all the time. It's having those conversations up front, setting them up for success, right? And letting them know, hey, if you get outbid, we need to know what your absolute max is. So like, Harvey, what are you talking about right up front with your new buyers, whether it's their first time, 10th time? I mean, what are you saying to them to keep them at that, you know, calmness?
Yeah, right. So many emotions involved in the purchase. And, you know, Sean, I'm glad you reminded me, 2020 really did start off on fire. Every year we would say that, you know, during the mortgage show, or if we're out there talking to people about the industry and what's going on, the temperature of the industry, it would always be there's that little lull between sort of Thanksgiving and maybe until the weather would break. And then start maybe picking up end of February or March if the weather broke. But we knew last year, home buying season took right off as soon as the clock turned 2020. So we all did have that fresh start to the year. And then boom, all of a sudden this pandemic starts creeping in on us. We're all having pretty good years. Things slow down. It's just bizarre that the millennials now are making up over 33% of the buyers out there. And then the other group of buyers out there during the pandemic were the people that say, wait a minute here, I need more space. You know, these kids, I got to have a place for them to study. I need my office at home now. And everything sort of quickly changed, and it just set the market on fire for 2020. And we ended the year so strong. And now Sean and Becky, and no doubt Lisa, I'm experiencing, and I'll wrap up that thought, I'm experiencing that with those buyers is they need to save a little bit more money. They need to really understand the marketplace ahead of time. I took a call from a kid and he was like, yeah, I want to see a house. And sure enough, the real estate agent called me back. And she said, Harvey, can you tell them what's going on out there? Realtors don't want to have you in the car and drive 20 houses and you're spending half the afternoon if you're not prepared in today's market. Sean, if you're not prepared to make an offer on a house in the next 24 hours, you're really not a buyer in today's marketplace.
That is so true. I mean, just an example this morning, I worked with a couple of their first time buyers. They're on the Michigan program. Got up this morning, 9 a.m., called the agent and she's like, I'm getting ready to present at like in an hour. And the house went on the market yesterday. And she's presenting, which was rare that she's not calling for highest and best by this date. And I'm like, wow, this is refreshing. You're going to present this morning. So I mean, right before this meeting, I'm writing an offer. And it's like, get it over here now. You have to be competitive. You got to have that talk with your buyers, what they're willing to do, what's their max. Yeah, it's just the way it is right now, unfortunately, only due to the low inventory that we have.
Yeah, Lisa, like, what are you, because I mean, I can, I have an example too, but I want to hear from you, because I know I hear you on the phone, you know, Mish is like, you're right in your backyard, obviously, but what are you doing for these first-time homebuyers that are, you know, they want, you got a million estimates of every little detail, and what are you doing to set your buyers up for success?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is just managing expectations and being realistic, especially first-time home buyers. You know, they always, I hate to say it, but they get a lot of opinions from other people who sometimes have outdated information. These are people who bought a home 5 years ago, 10 years ago, their parents, their grandparents. They don't understand what it's like in this marketplace. And I always tell them that, you know, it's in our best interest that you close. You know, the guidance and the recommendations we're giving you are because we want you to get your bid accepted. We're not trying to make you overpay for a house, you know, and if people feel strongly about that, then maybe this isn't the market for them, because you have to be prepared to go in high, go in strong, because you don't always get a second chance. Just like you said, your seller was not asking for highest and best. They're reviewing bids and making a decision. You don't always get an opportunity to get a second look. So you need to be prepared. And, you know, first-time home buyers and people always looking for the great deal, not saying it doesn't exist and it's not out there, but it is much, much farther apart and less common now than before. So if you're using something like a MISHTA program, you have to be sure what you can bring to the table, what's going to separate you from, you know, another offer, things like contingency plans. You want to make sure that you are offering it, possibly occupancy. You can do escalation. MISHTA's new guidelines state that the house does not have to, you could pay more than what the house is worth, but the buyer has to be able to pay the difference. So making sure that you go over all these little things with somebody so they're really prepared and understand what they're getting into is so important.
Yeah, I 1,000% agree. I have a gentleman, he's actually purchasing an investment property. He's looking to purchase an investment property. And I had actually a group conversation with both him and his realtor because they keep losing out on properties. Now, he can go above and beyond. I mean, you're talking a huge down payment. And he got on the phone with me and said, what can we do to make me stand out a little bit more? We got real deep into what does an escalation clause, like what is an appraisal guarantee? What does that mean? Right. And, you know, are you willing to come up that difference? What would he be on the hook for? At one point in time, would he lose his earnest money deposit? You know, we were trying to think of all these different ways to help him stand out. And that's what we preach on, you know, as far as capital mortgage funding all the time, is you have to set yourself up for success. And part of that is aligning yourself with an all-star team that is going to have these conversations, whether it's 9 in the morning, 9 o'clock at night, to make sure that we are setting you up for success, because it is important for you to know what an escalation clause is, right? You can get in trouble. If you have a house, you're making an offer for $300,000, and we'll get into appraisals a little bit later, but if it comes in at $250,000, you're now on the hook for that $50,000 on top of your down payment. I mean, it can get real crazy real quick just because you want to throw something at the wall to make your offer stand out. So our advice is obviously having these hard conversations up front. Know what your limits are and don't be afraid to set them. Don't act out of desperation. That is our, you know, if I could even say that, you know, to hear if one thing comes from this, don't act out of desperation as a buyer in this market, just because you lost out on 10 houses. You're like, okay, well, I'm going to see what 50,000 gets me over asking. Well, that's going to be that time that your offer gets accepted and you might get in trouble with it. So, on the flip side of that, right? Lack of inventory. So what can we do for the sellers that are holding back their homes because they're afraid that they're going to put their house on the market, get 4011 offers in 5 seconds, and then they're in this pool with the buyers, right? So what do we do about that to entice these sellers to get out, John?
Yeah, that's something I'm running into, Becky. They're very apprehensive to sell because they're worried about being homeless. You know, there's the lack of inventory there. What if I sell? We've heard all the things. Homes are selling in a weekend. We sell this house in a weekend. Now we have to find a house. And what I'm coming to, and I'm offering this option of contingent on selling your home, until you find the home of choice. So
right.
Hold on. I just got a phone call that distracted me. Sorry guys. Anyway, which is great, you know, but, they still are very, it's all new to them. So they're very apprehensive to do this. And to explaining this new little contingency that we can put in place sounds great, but they're still very nervous about doing it.
So I have a lot of clients that are calling me too. They're talking, there's a lot of for sale by owners, right? So they're like, oh, well, it's so busy, right? I can just slap my house on the market myself and I don't need a realtor. Okay. I'm anti that, right? Because I feel like you're going to leave a lot of money on the table. So what do you say to those people that are like, nah, I don't need a realtor?
Well, I could pull my own tooth, but it's going to hurt a lot. I'd rather have a professional do it, right?
That's a perfect analogy.
I mean, I could probably do it, but it's going to hurt for a long time. So I might want to call a professional. Listen, you could probably sell your house on your own, but are you going to get the max value for that home? Are you going to draw 20 offers in a weekend? Are you prepared to show this house to 60 people in a weekend? There's a lot to it. I mean, yeah, you could probably sell it, but are you going to get the max? And I just believe wholeheartedly, the more volume, more traffic you could draw to your home, the more you're going to make off that home. That's right. Why I feel like a realtor is necessary.
Well, can I jump in on that too? And not only Absolutely. That, Sean,
yeah,
they might be leaving some money on the table. They don't know how to recognize what's a better deal than the other deal.
Absolutely.
In other words, the $20,000 over asking price sounds better, but the $10,000 over asking price, they can close.
Right.
And also they're more flexible. So a lot of times, right, what presents itself is maybe more money initially in your pocket might not be the case after the appraisal's done, after the buyers get cold feet when they realize that they're overbidding, they don't have the money to make up the difference. So great points, well taken. Today's market is not a for sale by owner market. It doesn't need to be. You don't need to waste your time, as you mentioned, the 3 or 4 different reasons. Showing strangers your house, being prepared to understand what the highest and best offer is. Even if the offer is lower, it might be a better offer. They might give you 60 days occupancy. So there's lots of different reasons and nuances why a real estate agent, a professional one, is so valuable in today's marketplace.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like on the listing side, again, if you're listing your house right now, don't be afraid to get your house out there, because the more inventory that is starting to come out as the spring market just naturally is, it's going to release that pressure. And more homes are coming on the market every day, and that's allowing, you know, more buyers to get into these houses. So if you're a seller looking to, you know, to purchase, or, you know, to see what you can get, don't be afraid. Have the conversations. Call someone like Sean up now. You can work out, you know, time in your offer. You know, like I think a lot of new seller contingencies are, it's contingent on them finding a home of their liking, you know? So it's a way to, it's killing two birds with one stone. It's aligning that buyer and them having the security of knowing that that house is secured under contract, and they know they have time, and there's no rush to hurry up and close a mortgage because the seller still has time to get out there and still find their house. So I think that's a, you know, I'm seeing that a lot of sellers, there's more of that happening out there. I've also noticed that there's getting a lot more pressure on when you're making these listings. I've seen a couple where I've had calls and like, hey, can you close this in 20 days? I feel like we're getting back to putting that pressure on the lender to make buyers' offers stand out. And okay, yeah, can we close purchases in 20 days? Absolutely, right? Our success and our efficiency also, though, is contingent upon the appraiser getting out there on time, title work, the buyer getting all of their documentation. So we're ready to roll as fast as you're ready to roll, right? But pushing a closing, rushing also might be an actual like Achilles heel for some of these sellers that are putting their houses on the market and not having time to find their own home. Another thing that I want to talk about real quick is the differences. And before we wrap it up is the appraised value and what you actually will get for your home, right? Yeah. So now we have these, everything is a bidding war, right? You're going in $10,000, $15,000. You got to be prepared. You got to be ready to do that, right? So now what is happening when these home prices are not catching up to these appraised values at these accelerated rates? And, you know, Sean, I know you kind of keep it under the radar, but he actually is, you know, on the side, he does appraisal. So he's very affluent with what is going on out there and what happens when you are shooting for the moon with these offers and then enter the appraised value part of it and what goes on with that.
Yeah, this is fascinating. Being an appraiser of now 20 years and coming over to the real estate side a little over 2 years ago, this, what we're going through right now, is just fascinating. I love the talk around the office. You know, it came in low. My appraisal came in low. Well, you listed it at 299. It sold for 350. So you listed it at 299 because that's what the comps were telling you right there. The comps were telling you 299. In order to get that 350, we can't pluck this number out of the sky. We are data based. The appraisal is past data, and you know, most lenders like to have you within 3 months of a sales timeline. There's a lot of other appraisal stuff. I won't bore you with that. But in order to get that 350, you got to have the talk with your buyer. They need to come with the cash to make up the difference between the appraisal value and the purchase price. So right. If we're going to willy-nilly throw out offers 50 grand over, that's what has to be done to cover that gap. We can only do so much. We have guidelines we have to adhere to. We have lender guidelines. We have USPAP. No one knows what that is, but we have guidelines that restrict us from just getting away with crazy stuff. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but we don't set out to kill a deal, but we have things that we have to adhere to.
So what you're saying is it is not the lender's fault if the value comes in a little bit under purchase price, because guess what? The appraisers have to be selected at random, correct?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. It goes through an AMC, an appraisal management company. They send it out. Hopefully they're trying to find appraisers that are geographically competent, that know the area. I myself will not go outside of a 20-mile radius. I want to know exactly what I'm dealing with when I take an assignment. We're not out to kill a deal. It's not our initiative, but we have to stick to the data. We have to stick to the guidelines that are set in place. And I will tell you, we try like heck to get that sales price. If we're close, we do not want a deal to fall apart. But when you're bidding 50 grand, whatever, I mean, we're seeing crazy offers right now. Right. 50 grand over a $300,000 price point, and you're going to come up short. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
I find that fascinating, you know, like, and I'm sure you find it fascinating too, yeah, where when you're listing a property, I mean, obviously you're looking at it totally different than your average real estate agent.
Totally. Totally. I mean, and you have to have that talk. You know, I get calls all the time. Sean, I'm thinking about selling. Can you appraise my house? Absolutely, I can appraise your house. We don't need to appraise your house. I can run comps and tell you what I would list it at.
Yeah.
But here's what it potentially would sell at. There are two different things right now. And I always say, are you going to refi or are you going to sell?
Yes. Totally. Are you going to stay or are you going to go?
Because if you're going to refi, here's a nice little range of what it's going to appraise for. I just know it. But if you're going to sell, this is what we could potentially sell your house for. Totally two different things right now.
Yeah. Also, just real quick on refis rates, we're seeing that what we've talked about, they're starting to move. They are going up a little bit, but they still are historically low. So to the topic of the point that Sean has brought up, are you going to stay or are you going to go?
Yeah.
With home values improving, obviously you can still pull cash out. We're still doing a lot of refinances. But if you're thinking about refinancing, if you're flirting with the idea, now is the time. We've thought this was going to happen. It's happening. And you want to make sure that you're securing your rate before they do get up to the point of, you know, where it's not going to be beneficial for you. Right. So what are you seeing, Lisa, right now?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, obviously it depends on the loan program and everybody's credit credentials, but the rates aren't what they were, you know, 4 months ago. They're not what they were, you know, prior to Christmas. And everyone's like, I want to get that 30 year, you know, at 2.5. Well, it's not out there unless you want to spend oodles and oodles of money buying it down, which doesn't always make sense. So, you know, if you were thinking about it and you were on the fence, jump off the fence and do it now, because you're going to kick yourself in 6 months from now when the rates are even higher and you really wish you had done it. So, but on the good side for that, if you were thinking about selling your house, do it now. Same reason. You're going to get more money for your house now than you were going to get 6 months ago. So, you know, it drives both things. So, you know, increase the listings, get out there, you know, find your dream home and get your house sold right now, because you're never going to find a better time to sell.
Yeah, I hear that. What about you, Harvey, real quick?
My last thoughts are just this inventory is so tight. I really feel strongly about having these great representation. Get a strong mortgage person, get a strong realtor, make sure they have everyone's phone number. You have to give your real estate agent permission to move forward, give them the DocuSign, sign up for the DocuSign so that they can present offers at full price or at 5,000 over. Because if you don't get your offer accepted, you're not in the conversation. And in today's marketplace, give your agent the confidence. They know what your taste is. They know what house style you want. Give them the confidence. So as soon as that house hits the market, you're ready to present your offer immediately. And also, if there's any way possible to find out the seller's motivation in a transaction, find out that motivation. Again, sometimes the 60 days of free occupancy, the contingency upon them finding a house for sale. But also, Sean, and you might know this one, if you want to pick up their transfer tax, if you want to do something over and above what everyone else is doing, offer to pay transfer tax on the sale of the house. So now you just save that seller potentially $2,500 to $4,500. It's coming out of your pocket. But it's a lot easier to pay $4,500 over and pick up that transfer tax than $20,000 over asking.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Hit us with some final shots here. Final thoughts here, Sean.
Well, Harvey was just talking about, this is awesome, because this is one thing we talk about. We have weekly meetings with Michelle Sayward, and this is what we talk about when our buyers are getting frustrated. We talk about strategies. What can we do to get our buyers a home? And that, what you just alluded to was one of the things we talk about. Set ourselves apart, put our buyers in the best position possible, because it's very competitive. And so we're always trying to keep up to date with each other on how we can best service our buyers and sellers.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful thing. And I want to kind of wrap it up here with maybe three things that buyers can do this week, today even, that's going to set them up for success. And the first thing is, let us or anyone check your credit. That is going to be the first thing that you need to do when starting the pre-approval process. The days of not allowing a lender to look at your credit because you're afraid it's going to hit your credit before you can get pre-approved, it's not happening. You can get a random quote, okay, but it's not going to get you a pre-approval, and that is going to be something that you need to do to start the process and even figure out what you're going to be able to do. The second thing is you need to figure out what you can afford. I think that is something that is people don't really pay attention. You need to find out what is the actual max payment. And if you're saying that you want to not exceed $1,200 with taxes and insurance, you need to have that conversation. So we're going to start with a credit pull, and we're going to figure out what you can afford. And the last part is making a savings plan for your down payment. You can, there is low down payment. There's MSJDA. We can, you know, there's VA, there's USDA where it's 0% down. That doesn't mean zero out of pocket. And I feel like there's a lot of misconception there too. So the sooner you start the conversation, you align yourself with an all-star team, we'll hook you up with agents like Sean Wilmont to get you set up for success. So this week, let someone check your credit, figure out what you can afford, and let's talk about how to set your budget for your down payment. So this has been the Harport Car Mortgage Show, brought to you by Fairway Independent Mortgage. That's Equal Housing Lender 2289. I'm Becky Alley for Harvey Freed. He'll see you on Saturday morning. And Lisa Lawson, Sean Wilmont, it has been an honor and a privilege to have you on our show, and I can't wait to have you come back.